we're discussing our state's juvenile justice system and focusing on Milwaukee County here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Governor Evers' biennial budget proposal calls for changes to how youth are sentenced and receive treatment. It proposes nearly $46 million for a new juvenile facility in Milwaukee. This July, it was the original date set to close the Northwoods Youth Prisons, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. How do you feel about the delay to close them? What do you think of community-based facilities instead that focused on trauma-informed care and mental health? 800-642-1234. Mark Mertens is administrator of the Division of Youth and Family Services for Milwaukee County. He's part of a nationwide group called Youth Correctional Leaders for Justice. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start with your county and then we'll zoom out to the state. Give us an assessment of what juvenile justice looks like now in Milwaukee County, where you are at with, you know, youth and families in the system.
Sure. Well, we receive right now about, I'd say a three-year average would be about 1,500 referrals a year from law enforcement of youth ages 10 to 17 that have committed what would, if they had committed the offense as an adult, would be considered a crime. So we call it delinquency in the juvenile justice system. We receive those referrals and we work with those youth through the local justice system. At any given time, we have about 400 youth that are on supervision here in Milwaukee County, on court-ordered supervision, typically. So just a little context for around the numbers. We've been really on a journey over the last, at least the last 5 years, to really align our practices with the science of adolescent brain development and with what we know through research works around delivering youth justice services. We've worked hard to reduce the number of youth that are in correctional facilities. I think we've reduced by about 80% over the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yes.
That's significant.
Thank you. And we're still on a journey to continue to reduce. We're down. Last week we sort of hit a milestone. We had less than 20 youth in Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake County committed youth. I'll draw a finer point on that distinction later on. But that's down from about 120 back in the beginning of 2016. So. We're below 20. We think we can get to zero by the end of the year as we continue to develop a more robust continuum of services here in the county to serve those youth. So I'm very encouraged by that. And we want to continue to push forward and find a better way to serve our youth locally.
How has the pandemic affected your work or the number of referrals or what you're able to do with these youth and families?
Referrals are actually, we're actually down in 2020. So I think the pandemic had some impact overall on crime, youth crime, especially. However, if you've been watching the trends in Milwaukee, you would see that violent crime overall is up. And I'm not just speaking of juveniles or youth, rather. I'm really talking about overall violent crime. Homicides are up. I think we're going to come close to doubling the rate of homicides when all the figures come in for 2020. Domestic violence is up. So the type and seriousness of offenses is up. And I think anecdotally, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think that is probably true for youth as well, that those types of serious crimes are up. Youth that have been victims of serious crime and youth that commit serious crimes are up, even though the overall number of referrals to us for committing offenses is down about 25% over 2019.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Mark Mertens, who is administrator for Milwaukee County's Youth and Family Services Division. We're talking about the status of juvenile justice in the county, overall trends that he sees, and what diversion looks like. You can join in with your questions. How do you feel about eliminating the Serious Juvenile Offender Program? What kind of alternatives do you think should be used instead of incarcerating youth? 800-642-1234. Mark, you know, when you look around the state, do you think what you're describing in Milwaukee County is reflective of the state of youth justice for Wisconsin as a whole, or do you see wide ranges in how youth and families are treated around the state, rural versus urban, perhaps?
Well, I think there are differences in within, you know, the 72 counties. Each county in Wisconsin has its own youth justice system because mm-hmm. they're all operated by counties. And I think there's a wide range of resources available within counties for youth justice. I think in general, most of the youth justice leaders in our state are really beginning to align themselves with the science of serving youth, adolescents, and their brain development, and establishing developmentally appropriate responses to youth crime. I think they're all working in that direction to varying degrees. And again, some of that is related to the resources that they have or don't have. I'm optimistic about that. I think there's pretty strong alignment with the science here in Wisconsin. I think our policies need to also align with the science, our laws and our policies around youth justice. And I think the governor's proposal is a really really encouraging step. I think
Let's dig into the governor's proposal and what you see in that 2-year spending plan, because there are significant changes to the overall criminal justice system, but especially juvenile justice. What do you see?
Sure. Well, I'm very encouraged by the emphasis on community-based programming, especially because that's what's most effective, is serving youth in their own community, where they can establish supports, where they can practice the new skills that they've learned, and so on. So I'm very encouraged by that. I'm also encouraged by the position that the governor is taking about essentially eliminating youth prisons. And now, that does not mean that there aren't some youth that, for community safety purposes, need to be separated from the community for a period of time. That's, I think, always going to be necessary. But our approach is antiquated. Prisons are antiquated. I think probably all of your listeners are aware of the very serious issues that occurred at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake School, the abuses that occurred there, and the lack of education and lack of treatment that has historically been provided there really does not bode well for proper developmental treatment of youth and proper rehabilitation. We can do much better than that, and we intend to do much better. We are doing much better, and we intend to do even better locally. And I think the governor's proposal supports that. So I'm very encouraged.
We're talking with Mark Mertens, administrator of the Division of Youth and Family Services for Milwaukee County. We're discussing how his county is reducing the number of local youth who are incarcerated, what he envisions for juvenile justice going forward in his community. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mark Mertens here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at how Milwaukee County is dramatically reducing the number of youth who are incarcerated at Lincoln Hills and what diversion alternatives are working and why. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Efforts have stalled to close the Northwoods Youth Prison. Lincoln Hills has 54 youth in its facility in its most recent weekly census. Copper Lake has 6. How do you think the state should deal with juvenile offenders? 800-642-1234. Mark Mertens is administrator of the Milwaukee County Youth and Family Services Division, and he stays with us. Let's bring in Lisa now in Madison. Hi, Lisa. What is your perspective?
Hi. I was really disturbed, as most people were, regarding what was happening at Lincoln Hills. And in the mid-90s, I worked at a youth correction facility in northwestern Wisconsin. Quite a few kids from Milwaukee County were actually sent there. And on a daily basis, I witnessed staff who would escalate children into violence and then use that violence to justify further consequences or punishment, really. And, I reported that to the management of the facility many times, and nothing was ever done. And, in fact, I was sometimes the one written up. So, very disturbed to see that not a lot had changed in the intervening years in these facilities. And I hope that there is genuine change going forward, because those children deserve much better.
Lisa, thank you for sharing your experience in the 90s. What impact does staff training have on the work you do and how you work with these juveniles and families? Mark?
Thank you, Lisa. And I'm really sorry to hear about your experiences. And I wish I could say that your experiences were atypical, but they are not atypical. And that they do reflect the type of practice that has occurred historically. So we are being very intentional about assuring that that our staff are trained. We've made significant changes, especially in the juvenile detention center in Milwaukee, the Vell Phillips Juvenile Detention Center. We've reduced over the course of time, over the past 5 years or so, we've reduced the incidence of use of force by about, I think it's about 80% in that time. And a lot of that has to do with staff training. Selecting staff that have an interest in working with youth, helping youth, don't see themselves necessarily as correctional officers, although that certainly is part of their job. They're responsible for safety in the facility and so on, but that they don't see that as the core of who they are professionally. Would they get trained in de-escalation? We emphasize verbal de-escalation over physical restraint, and we've made significant changes. And I think that Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake are on a similar path. I'm encouraged by the new leadership there that's been in place for the last couple of years. They are colleagues that I've worked with for a long time and that I trust. I think they're doing their best to achieve similar changes there around reducing the use of force and so on. It's a challenge. Changing culture is a challenge within an institution like Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake. That's always very challenging. But I think Lisa outlines all of the reasons why it's necessary to close youth prisons in general and to have a new approach, a better approach that's more humane and more developmentally appropriate.
Can you talk a bit more about the use of restraint, when it's used, and what that means?
Well, it should really only be used in an incident where a youth is in the process of harming someone else or themselves. In those cases, officers would employ restraint techniques that they've been trained in to provide the least amount of force necessary to prevent the youth from hurting themselves or hurting other people. So there's a whole training process. Every time there's a use of restraint or use of force within our facility, most of it is, first of all, is you know, seen on camera, because we have security cameras all over the detention center. But all incidents are reviewed by supervisors, and you know, we look at did the officer follow their training? Did they follow proper procedure to call in support, and so on? So we're very mindful of doing things the right way and preventing injuries. And again, as I mentioned, we've reduced these types of incidents by over 80%. So that really tells you, first, it tells you two things. First of all, it tells you that historically those techniques were overused. And secondly, it tells you that if you treat youth with respect, you listen to them, and you use the types of verbal de-escalation techniques that you're trained in, that's effective, and that's the direction we should go. That should be our default. And so use of force should be an absolute last resort.
We're talking with Mark Mertens, who is administrator for the Milwaukee County Youth and Family Services Division. He's a member of the group Youth Correctional Leaders for Justice that seeks to close youth prisons in the U.S. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Colin is joining us from Wausau. Hi, Colin. What would you like to ask?
Appreciate the call. Appreciate your work. Appreciate the program and stuff like that. Couple things. My question is about the investment that we're going to put into education and giving the skills to help the people that are in correctional facilities when they get out to be or to have a better opportunity to stay in society and not to go back. There's a great restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio called Edwin's. A guy, Brandon, is the CEO, and it's Education Wins, and he takes in inmates or others and teaches them culinary skills so that they can leave with a skill set and then make a living. There's a Netflix series called College in the Prisons that's phenomenal. And I'm an educator, and I would love to listen to how can I help in the summers? What could I do locally in Wausau, near or far, to help education be the way out?
Colin, thank you.
Colin, that is exactly spot on around the type of approach we need to take and the type of work that we're trying to do in the community in Milwaukee. We're working right now on a couple of actually culinary arts projects for youth. So you hit it right on the head. But we're also looking at other opportunities for apprenticeships or vocational training and so on. We're trying to work very closely with our community and in a different way than we have previously. Typically, it's been a sort of a top-down approach where, you know, we come up with solutions within the department or, you know, within government, and then we look for agencies to implement those solutions. We want to change that around, where we want to be inquiring from a more sort of horizontal grassroots perspective along with the community to find solutions. There are some amazing people in Milwaukee that are very committed to working with youth that are all around within our community. And we're trying to really capitalize on that, work with those people directly and work with them on finding the solutions that are right in our community. Much of that does have to do with education, as you mentioned, and with providing the opportunities and the right supports so that youth can succeed.
Something you've said before and told your kids really sticks with me, and it's something I will tell mine when they're older. You've said you don't want to put yourself in a position where you make one mistake that you can never undo. How common is it with the youth you work with where it was one mistake, one very bad decision that unraveled a young life?
Unfortunately, it's much more prevalent than any of us would like to see. This is high stakes work. There are There are youth that make very bad decisions, very dangerous decisions, and sometimes it results in loss of life or injury, and those are things that can never be undone. So we feel the urgency of all of that, and we want to try to help our youth to not make those kinds of decisions that they can never undo. Most things are fixable, right? Most bad decisions that we make. Think back, at least I'll self-disclose and say I can think back to my own life and say, man, I made some bad decisions. But most of those things, I mean, they're in the past now. They were undone. But there are certain things that can't be undone. And we don't want our youth to be subject to those unfixable mistakes.
Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Mark Mertens is administrator for the Division of Youth and Family Services in Milwaukee County, member of the Youth Correctional Leaders for Justice. Ahead this hour, it's analysis on last week's wolf hunt with the head of the UW Carnivore Coexistence Lab. We'll pick up the conversation after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.